The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 7th through Sunday, July 13th, 2025. The commentary for July was written by Roger Hutchison, an award-winning author, illustrator, and lay ministry leader in the Episcopal Church. Roger is known for his compassionate work with children affected by tragedy and for his openness about his journey with ADHD, anxiety, and depression. He is author of 9 books, and his paintings appear on the covers of the 2025 Forward Day by Day booklets. The commentary for Monday, July 7th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 47b. Certainly this man was innocent. Here's the commentary. During the quarantine, my church organized monthly online events that showcased theologians and inspiring individuals. One particularly compelling session featured an interview with Sister Helen Prejean, renowned for her advocacy against the death penalty. The conversation prompted deep reflections on justice and mercy, drawing thought-provoking parallels between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. This led to a discussion akin to the Innocence Project for Jesus, shedding new light on age-old narratives. Sister Prejean's involvement in St. Thomas Housing Project in New Orleans and her communication with death row inmates served as the inspiration behind her book, Dead Man Walking, an eyewitness account of the death penalty in the United States. Her influential work sparked many conversations and paved the way for a movie, a play, and an opera, profoundly impacting countless individuals. Sister Prejean's ongoing efforts are a wonderful, powerful reminder of the significance of actively engaging in advocacy and seeking justice and mercy for all. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage from Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 through 56a. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 7th, is, imagine an innocence project for Jesus. Would you be called as a witness? The commentary for Tuesday, July 8th, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 40. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. I live with treatment-resistant depression, a journey I'm sharing with you. It's a new diagnosis for me, and I'm grateful to have received it. I am working with my doctor on a plan, and it seems to be working so far. It's common for people with depression to find it hard to get out of bed in the morning, and I suspect some of you can relate. My morning routine is essential to me. Most days I let the dogs out, go to the restroom, and take a cold shower. This routine helps me start the day on a positive note and serves as a form of self-care, particularly the cold shower. The stories of Aeneas and Tabitha inspire me. Aeneas was paralyzed and Tabitha was dead. Their stories remind me that even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles, there is always hope. Peter said, "Get up," and they did. Now I'm going to read from this passage from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. Now, as Peter went here and there among all the believers, he came down also to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how can you offer hope to someone struggling with mental health challenges? What if that person is you? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, July 9th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 16. "But their eyes were kept from recognizing him." The story of the walk to Emmaus has always fascinated me. I often wonder how the travelers on the road didn't recognize Jesus. Similarly, I'm always moved by the account of the women at the tomb and their initial interaction with the resurrected Jesus, whom Mary Magdalene thought was the gardener. It's a powerful reminder of the unexpected ways we may encounter the divine in our lives. As a photographer, I am learning to see, not just look, but see. I think I'm pretty good at seeing. That is, until my wife asks me for something out of the pantry. I usually can't find it, even when it is right in front of my face. Reflecting on these stories prompts me to examine my assumptions and biases, and to remain open to the possibility of encountering the divine in unexpected ways. Sometimes the divine might even be right in front of me. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke chapter 24, verses 12 through 35. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talked with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." And the moving forward question for this day is, when have you encountered the divine in an unexpected way? The commentary for Thursday, July 10th, begins with Psalm 18, verse 20. He brought me out into an open place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I delight in many things: chocolate, my family and friends, my hobbies, and nature. Did I mention chocolate? The word delighted suggests a deep and genuine sense of joy, approval, and satisfaction. In this verse, God takes pleasure in delivering and providing for those whom God loves. It signifies a profound sense of care and affection, reflecting a loving and nurturing relationship between God and God's people. My grandmother whispered that I was her favorite grandchild. She loved me and found great delight in spending time with me. I felt extra special because she had many grandchildren. When she died, I learned that she said those same words to each of her grandchildren. Of course she did. Hearing this brought me great delight. This passage reminds us of God's unwavering love and commitment to those who trust, bringing comfort and reassurance to those who seek guidance and protection. And it reminds me of my grandmother. And now I'm going to read the passage from Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering around him, his canopy thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him there broke through his clouds hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He reached down from on high. He took me. He drew me out of mighty waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, who delights you? Tell them about the joy they bring. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, July 11th, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of Benedict of Nursia. It begins with a passage from Psalm 17, verse 5. My footsteps hold fast to the ways of your law. In your paths my feet shall not stumble. Today the church recognizes the life and work of Benedict of Nursia, a 6th century saint best known for founding the Benedictine monastic order. Born into a noble family in Italy, Benedict abandoned his studies in Rome and chose a life of solitude, eventually settling in a cave near Subiaco. He began gathering followers and established the first monastic community based on his rule, the Rule of Saint Benedict, which emphasized a life of prayer, work, and community living. Benedict's rule became the standard for Western monasticism and profoundly influenced the development of Christian monasticism throughout Europe. His emphasis on moderation, obedience, and the importance of community life set the tone for centuries of monastic tradition. Even today, many communities and individuals adhere to the rule of Saint Benedict, a testament to the enduring power of the mix of prayer, work, and community. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 17, verses 1 through 8. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come, let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do, by the word of your lips I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Guard me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, first, research the rule of Saint Benedict. What elements of the rule appeal to you, and which parts seem challenging? The commentary for Saturday, July 12th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 18. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. The fishermen's immediate response to Jesus' call to leave behind their nets and follow him is a powerful example for us today. It prompts us to consider whether we are willing to let go of our familiar routines and comfort zones to respond to the call of faith. It challenges us to reflect on our priorities and the extent of our commitment to following Jesus. I am 52 years old and have served as a Christian educator, working with children, youth, and adults for 35 years. The wider church has changed significantly over these 3.5 decades, and I have had to decide whether to change with it or not. In these moments of change, which have often been difficult, I feel Jesus calling me to leave my net and to come with him. Now I'll read the gospel passage from Mark 1, verses 14 through 28. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And the moving forward question, are you willing to embrace change and embark on a journey of faith, even if it means leaving behind the way you have always done things? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the passage for Sunday, July 13th, the fifth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Amos chapter 7, verse 7. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. It is no secret that Houston, Texas, where I live, is built on a land that is very wet when it is wet and very dry when it is dry. The ground constantly shifts, so no one has a straight wall, or at least not for very long. After Hurricane Harvey, a contractor used a plumb line to show us how much our walls and floors had shifted. Plumb lines are also used in surveying and mapping to establish the vertical reference line. The plumb line sets the standard and does not change at the carpenter's whim. It remains true, and all work must align with it. In Amos's prophecy, God used the plumb line to measure Israel's faithfulness to God's law. Just as the plumb line measures alignment and adherence in physical structures, God's Word is our spiritual plumb line, guiding us in a consistent and unwavering manner. By aligning our lives with God's truth, we can find strength and purpose in our faith journey, even when the ground seems to shift. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Pentecost, what spiritual practice serves as a plumb line for you? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.